As always, coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Say, man, don't get in front of the cock-a-doodle-doo, okay?
Yeah,
how long have you been working here?
We discussed this a week
ago. It's about timing, dude. Kairos, timing.
I got nothing. I can't.
Cock-a-doodle-doo comes before your ass.
I pause in the wrong spot. I wait for it, doesn't come. Then I talk, and there it is.
You are not coachable.
We should have a meeting.
They ruined you at Fordham.
Yeah. Spoiled me.
Yeah.
Sent me in the wrong direction.
What's happening?
There's a computerized voice that counts down the commercial breaks here on CBS Sports Radio.
It's annoying.
45 seconds.
Yeah.
And me and Brian spent the last 45 seconds yelling at that voice, which can't respond to shut up and we'll talk when we're ready to talk.
Those are the best type of voices, right?
Yeah.
The ones that can't respond.
And we are ready to go. Gio's week off continues. A belated happy birthday to Mrs. Gio.
Is that right?
Yeah, she doesn't listen when Greg is here, so she's definitely not listening when he's not.
Okay.
But part of the reason for the week off is to celebrate Gina's birthday. So
cool.
All the best to her.
Damn, he's a good husband. How you do that?
Mini vacation pics yesterday from...
Really?
They went to Montauk in the summer when you're supposed to go to Montauk, unlike Pete. So hope they had a good time. And Greg will be back here on Monday.
They were scouting some fish for PDB in the winter.
Should I dig the hole in the ice here or out here when we want to fish in our cabin? Eric Coleman, brand new member of the CBS Sports Network family, will join us. We'll talk college football with him. And the great Nick Faldo, lead golf analyst for CBS Sports, inching towards the 99th PGA Championship later this week at Quail Hollow. He will join us, both of those gentlemen, in our final hour. And of course, a major on American soil means Anne Liguori has 2 days before she is newly accosted verbally by one Brian Jones.
Are so over that, man. Moved on.
Because she has a man, right?
I can't mess with that. She's taking woman.
Mm-hmm.
I moved on.
Because you have.
I got me
rules.
A new white woman.
Mikey B, PDB, and Darwin Zook in the building this morning with you as well at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So if the pattern holds, we are 24, 36 hours away from an announcement of an Ezekiel Elliott suspension from the NFL. Chris Carter was on FS1 almost as we were signing off the air, I think, yesterday.
That's how it works.
Saying that he was hearing that a suspension was coming by Wednesday, and it actually could be closer to 4 games than the 1 or 2 that the Elliott camp was reportedly prepping for the last couple of weeks. And then Chris Carter kind of unleashes the bomb that this may go in line with Brady and Deflategate, and that Ezekiel Elliott destroyed some evidence the NFL had requested in this investigation.
Tampering with evidence.
When I said pattern, because 2 days before Brady's suspension came, Stephen A. Smith came on TV and said that Brady had destroyed a cell phone, as if NFL headquarters was sharing a little bit of information with somebody to grease the skids for said announcement. So maybe here we are again with Elliott on the verge of being in trouble, more so for a crime after the fact than maybe what he did to start the whole thing going.
Well, how's it go? The cover-up is usually worse
than the
crime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but when you're talking about domestic violence, that's bad. And I'm not going to say a cover-up is worse than abusing another human being, but if these rumors are true, if this comes to fruition, that he destroyed evidence and wasn't as forthcoming as we have been led to believe, because from day one, we have been told that Ezekiel Elliott, his family, everybody's been forthcoming. The attorneys, everyone that's been looking into this deal has been come forward, and they've shared information with not only the league's security detail, but the authorities in that particular community where this alleged incident took place. So if it turns out that they weren't as upfront as we thought they were, this really is going to hurt the Dallas Cowboys, and more specifically Ezekiel Elliott and his reputation. As a Cowboys fan, I'm hoping what Chris Carter is reporting is not true. But if the young man did something and he's guilty of this, he deserves whatever the punishment is.
And we should point out that Chris Carter did say that Ezekiel Elliott did something to his girlfriend a year ago. I think the term he used was pure assault. So it's not, we as you said, we can't separate that and put it away and downplay it. I mean, that is the more significant thing in this equation. Where the destroyed evidence comes in is the change in suspension that may be coming for Elliott. That, you know, this case obviously did not proceed legally for a number of different reasons. And maybe the NFL, for similar reasons, was not going to levy that strong of a suspension on Elliott until maybe he deleted something, broke something, destroyed something, hid something, lied something about something. And now all of a sudden there's an extra two or three games on this suspension. And instead of, you know, something, and it sounds like we're belittling things, but we're a sports show, so this becomes about the sport and the field, and a one or two game suspension was palatable for Dallas, but missing all of September is a far more significant thing, and it, again, is never more significant than the actual event that started all of this. But from the Cowboy perspective, and don't forget, you know, Jerry Jones has not only has he defended Ezekiel Elliott, he's proclaimed his innocence. I mean, on more than one occasion, right, and almost has been defying the NFL. And I've seen what you have, and there's nothing. If all of a sudden this ends up from that to four games, I mean, that's obviously a major, major swing in the wrong direction for that.
Right. He's come out and he's given a full-throated backing of his running back. We've seen all the evidence out there. There's nothing to this story. They should be done with this. They've been investigating Ezekiel Elliott for over a year now. There has not been a drip, 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 at least not publicly. Now, if we are to believe, once again, Chris Carter, something has been going on. There's been some other information or occurrences that the league office has been investigating, and that deals with this potential cover-up. But outwardly, there's not been a drip-drip. You haven't had a different story here. Well, I wasn't at that place. Where it turns out you were at that place.
Right.
I didn't do this. It turns out you did do this. Well, I didn't meet with so-and-so. Well, it turns out you did meet with so-and-so. So you haven't had that drip-drip. So this will be very detrimental to the Cowboys. You're right. On field speaking, and also Jerry Jones comes out and he has the full backing and gives a huge endorsement for his running back in terms of him not having done anything because he's seen all the evidence and there's no there. Well, he's going to have to do an about face if it turns out there was a cover up and there was evidence that should have been given to the authorities that was not, and as a matter of fact, it was destroyed.
You know, that's actually was the first thing I thought of when I was reading Chris Carter's comments, because I didn't make the immediate connection to Stephen A. Smith and Tom Brady. That came later on. Mike Florio wrote about that at Pro Football Talk. The first thing that popped into my head reading this was, man, I can't believe that this didn't come out already. I mean, I'm not defending the Cowboys. This has been a long-running issue for me with all commissioners and all league headquarters. I know these are all busy men and women, and there are things to figure out other than punishment and stuff like that, but it also involves things on the field, and it involves people's livelihoods and their reputations, either to clear somebody from alleged wrongdoing or to confirm that they're a bad dude. I think that a lot of these investigations go on for too long, and things need to be addressed quicker, and we need to move on from them. So, again, I'm not defending the Cowboys, but I have understood their complaint that this has gone on for so long with no decision from the NFL. So when I'm reading this yesterday, I'm like, man, why only now are we hearing about something this inflammatory? But it doesn't explain why this has taken so long. You know, have they spent months trying to recover what Ezekiel Elliott might have deleted.
And maybe the leakers at the NFL level aren't as good as they are at the political level. How about that? And the league now can justify why it's taken so long because they've had other little avenues to and rabbit holes to venture down because of this information that Chris Carter is sharing. So I was concerned with the length of this, especially when Jerry Jones comes out and says, there's no there. Okay, let's get to the bottom of this. Are you going to charge him or suspend him, or are you not going to suspend him? The team owners come out and stated, I've seen everything with this investigation, and there is nothing there. So you hear that from the team owner who's privy to everything, and you say, okay, well, NFL, why are you dragging your feet on this? Now, as far as the timetable, doesn't bother me unless it was me in the crosshairs of the NFL.
Well, yeah.
But as far, take your time and get to the bottom of it and do it right. But when your team owner comes out and says that, I'm on the side of Jerry Jones. I've seen everything. I don't know what the NFL is looking at. Roger Goodell, your people, what are you nosing around for still? There's nothing there. We've seen everything from the prosecutors there in that municipality. We've seen everything your security folks have been able to dig up. There's nothing there. So apparently they were, if we are to believe Chris Carter again, there was some other information out there that only the league was privy to, or why else would Jerry Jones get out in front of this story and say, hey, they need to wrap this up. Our guy's innocent.
So what do we do then with Jerry, by the way, if this comes out that Elliott did do something and then covered it up? What do we do with Jerry? Was he lying to us? Did he not know everything? Did he just go overboard in defending his guy? What do we do with Jerry then?
We say he went with the information he had, and he would have to come out and issue an apology and essentially state that I didn't know about this additional information. I wasn't aware that there could have been a cover-up of evidence. Destruction of evidence. That's the only route he can take, isn't it?
Yeah.
With all the information I had, everything they had shared with us, and having talked to prosecutors where this alleged incident took place, going on that, the strength of all that, I came out and I backed my player. And so I wasn't aware that the league had this other rabbit hole they were going down. That's the only way he can get out of this, because he came out and there was no him and a hawing. It was a full-throated endorsement and backing of his player. So the only way now he can backtrack is to say, well, that information wasn't shared with us. Now, in light of that information being on the surface, I amend what I said a month or a couple weeks ago.
Do you think the NFL at some point, not from the beginning, obviously, but do you think in the last couple of weeks and months they slow played this even farther and held it past enshrinement weekend to not have the possibility of Jerry standing on that stage and mentioning this somehow, or if he was really angry?
Grandstanding?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Only they can answer that, and I'm sure that question will come up if they hand down a suspension here in the next couple of days. Of course, you don't want to step on your huge event. This is your first big event to start the season, your Hall of Fame induction, and you have other people who are involved, not just the Cowboys, not just Jerry Jones. You have other, five, six other guys on that stage who are celebrating a great career at the NFL level. So why would you want to step on their toes and their magical moment by handing down the suspension as the Cowboys are playing in the game that leads up to the induction of this year's Hall of Famer? So I could see that happening from a PR standpoint, where they would want to delay that announcement. We're, what, Tuesday now? So a couple days removed from it. Good time to drop that shoe. If right. You're the NFL, we've moved past. We had a good weekend, other than Morten Andersen not being Norwegian and not playing on this particular soccer team. Other than that, not a lot of missteps, right? So maybe we'll come down. The news will break today, probably at what time are we off the air? 8:55 Eastern time, probably 8:55:40. It'll break, because that's how they do it.
But that's actually good, because if it breaks after we're done today or tomorrow, it gives us a topic for the next day.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Right?
We're running out of topics?
Not running out of topics, but I was talking about this the other day with somebody at the barbecue. Somebody was asking me, you know, how's work going?
The
summer.
Guy rolling the cigars. Okay.
Well, we didn't have one because you didn't show up. I wasn't going to get somebody else. I wasn't going to settle.
So that's right. You select. Don't settle, baby.
The guy was saying, like, you know, must be slow in the summer. I'm like, oh, we're okay now because football started, and football is just it just has so many built-in things, and everybody loves football, NFL and college. So we've kind of cleared the downtime. And then I was joking how, like, it's annoying when stories combine and happen all in one day. Like, you know, they need to spread out, because we need to, you know, Monday and Tuesday, we need just Kyrie Irving.
Mm.
Then Thursday and Friday can be Ezekiel Elliott. But when you mix them together on one day and then the rest of the week, there's nothing. Like, you got to help us out here, sports universe, and you got to have better calendar use.
Yeah, we're getting Kyrie every day.
Right. So now you've got Elliott today a little bit, because we've got Chris Carter yesterday. And now if we get the suspension after today's show or after tomorrow's show, then we get a second show out of Zeke's suspension. You see, what I'm saying here? But if we get an email now in the next hour that he's suspended four games, then the story only is for today.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so you got to think about these things. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You say so.
Please.
You're the journalist.
Trust me.
All right.
Okay, I'll take that. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Phone lines are open for Chris Carter / Ezekiel Elliott. If the NFL, if this really does follow the Brady Stephen A. Smith destroyed cell phone timeline, again, to not bury the lead in what Ezekiel Elliott might have done to his girlfriend a year ago and then did after the fact, but if the NFL is using the same kind of little mini PR plan here to get this out, start the fire, and then really drop the hammer with a suspension, it'll be a little.
We didn't start the fire.
Is that a new Billy Joel song?
It was already started. And now it went, something like that. No, I'll screw up some lyrics.
Somebody tried to explain, by the way, what Billy with the stamp.
Oh, did they? I actually text my sister because she's the one, you know, the youngster and knows all these terms. And she's not a big fan of Meek Mill. Sorry, Meek Mill.
What?
And she had no idea what it meant either. And plus, I was interrupting her vacation in London, so she really didn't give a damn.
Yeah, we got a Gio and Jones Facebook page, facebook.com/GioandJones, got a message.
It's Billy with the stamp.
Billy with the stamp, but it connects.
Now, I know Becky with the good hair.
Yeah, that's
got Billy
Beyonce
with the stamp.
Yeah, Billy with the stamp. It's a reference to getting a sticker from doing good work at school.
Really?
That's what the message said. Mike's going to pull it up right now.
You used to get stickers back in the day when you would read a number of books, yeah. So, Mike's. Is that G?
No, it's Jacob, right?
Jacob Wilkins.
Oh, I like my version better. What the hell does that do with Billy the Stamp?
It's just Pete was slow picking it up after you started singing.
Oh, thanks, Pete. Yeah. We've moved on from the fire, man.
Gotta have a better feel for the situation. Oof. Pete.
Okay. Huh. Moving right along.
Did you find the message yet, Mike, so you can actually read it verbatim? No, why?
No,
why
okay.
You be able to do that
we'll
easily?
Get it at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, or tomorrow, whatever. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. There's a lot to do after Ezekiel Elliott this morning. David Griffin, some interesting comments about Kyrie Irving's courage in asking out of Cleveland. Jay Cutler being Jay Cutler immediately down in Miami. We're going to discuss the Bachelorette, the historic Bachelorette, the one that we created that this show led to, the first black Bachelor or Bachelorette.
What?
It ended last night. Rachel,
it's over.
Rachel Lindsay.
Hook 'em horns, Rach.
I don't want to give away any spoilers. So if you've DVR'd the Bachelorette last night and haven't watched it yet, turn
Did you
off
watch
your radio.
It?
I've never watched a second of it until this morning when I was going to be on the show and I thought I should see how things ended.
Oh, really?
And again, spoiler alert, in 3, 2, and 1, she didn't pick a black guy, Brian.
Damn!
I know.
Boy, that's just wrong.
So they America gave
what
us
a country.
Couldn't give us a couldn't go all in.
Sorry. Payback is coming. Trust me. I'm going to get you back, Bachelorette.
There was a very interesting conversation in our hallways after our show yesterday between our two resident former NFL players here in the morning. Brian and Boomer Esiason. I will share that detail with you as well.
Plus, were you eavesdropping?
A little bit. I was trying to be in the conversation. I was not allowed to be, which is part of the story. Eric Coleman, CBS Sports college football analyst, and Nick Faldo is on the show as well. When we come back, Houston Nutt asked for just an apology, and we meet Darwin Zook next on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, this is U.S. men's soccer legend Landon Donovan, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Wait.
Stay woke.
Did you say Gio and Jones on air?
No. Oh, into the intercom.
I was gonna say, damn, boy, you are not coachable.
No, this one I think I've got a handle on. It's the top of the air. It's really a struggle still for me.
Okay.
I might as well just have Greg on tape start every hour, and then I'll come in somewhere afterwards when I know it's safe.
We're going to get you some rhythm.
And all the elements have been played, and I'm not stepping on anything. It is Gio and Jones, live on a Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio. As always, thanks for joining us. That is the double-bespeckled Brian Jones, sunglasses on top, reading glasses in position, looking studious and cool all at the same time.
Double is both, but I didn't bring them. So anyway, I can see.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a new man. Seriously, I can
see.
You
look like a new man,
damn,
too.
This is good. I can see. Yes. Aren't you happy for me?
I'm very happy for you. I just had like four different mean things on the tip of my tongue that I held in.
Eddie Murphy, Billy Ray Valentine, and Trading Places. Remember that scene?
Sure.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about when he was playing like this.
Of course I do.
He was purporting to be, or pretending, I should be saying, to be a Vietnam vet that was blind.
Yes.
Cops weren't buying his story.
Yeah.
I was all...
Exactly. Amen to that.
So where were you stationed in Vietnam? He was all over the place. You know, dang, tang, dang, dang, and okay, really. Great scene. Anyway, moving right along.
All right, good talk. That brings us directly to the, I think, the debut of one Darwin Zook here.
Yeah, I ain't never met this motherfucker.
Yeah, he's been interrogated now twice.
Yeah, sounds regal.
Very regal.
Darwin Zook.
More than any of us.
Ladies call me DZ.
More than any of us that sit in that chair. He's almost your match physically.
Hardly.
Darwin's got some muscles.
Oh, he's a big cat, yeah.
Yeah, more so than me or Lopresti or Jacob or Marco. So at least he can maybe stand up to you physically.
That's not saying much, though, Bogus.
No, true. None of us are in shape, but at least, you know, you've been to a gym, so you've got that going for you. we'll get to Houston Nutt asking for an I'm sorry from Ole Miss, but first, your update. Here's Darwin.
All right, guys. How about this? Nothing like celebrating your birthday, getting a bunch of trash dumped on you. That's exactly what happened with the Angels' Mike Trout on Monday. Prior to their game against the Orioles, the Halos continue their weird tradition, dumping all types of trash on a teammate celebrating a birthday. Trout turned 26 years old, and he celebrated in style, except for the trash part.
He is getting a standing ovation, not because it's his birthday, which you might think right away. That's also his 1,000th career hit, and he gets it on his birthday.
That's Terry Smith, Angels Radio Network. If you didn't hear there, Trout's 1,000th career hit. It was a fourth-inning double off Dylan Bundy. He later homered in the game as well, the fourth time in his career he's left the yard on his birthday. But the Angels lost the game to the Orioles 6-2. Manny Machado with a grand slam in that one. And meanwhile, Bryce Harper, he joined Trout, one of 14 players ever to hit their 150th homer prior to turning 25 years old.
The first pitch. Harper blasts one to deep right field. Stanton looking up. This one is high, it is deep, and it is long gone. Home run number 29 on Despaigne's first pitch in the last of the fourth.
Dave Gabler, Nationals Radio Network. Harper's 150th career homer was in the fourth inning. The Nationals beat the Marlins 3-2. And oddly enough, it was the exact same age down to the day that Trout also hit his 150th homer. They're both 24 years old, 295 days. Elsewhere in the majors, the Cardinals got back to the 500 mark for the first time since early June. They hammered the Royals 11-3, third straight win. Cards suddenly just 3.5 back of the Cubs in the NL Central. The Cubs, they maintain their division lead, a 5-3 win over the Giants. Javier Baez went deep, his 16th homer. Trevor Williams, a great game, allowed just one hit, 7 frames. The Pirates blanked the Tigers 3-0. Twins got by the Brewers 5-4. To some NFL news, veteran cornerback Brandon Flowers expected to announce his retirement later today. And another former Jaguars offensive tackle, Brandon Albert, he retired just a week ago after 9 seasons. He now apparently wants to come back. Albert informed the team he wants to return, but no decision has been made yet. The Jaguars up doing joint practices in New England with the Patriots right now. And in golf news, the PGA Championship gets underway Thursday at Quail Hollow in North Carolina. Starting in 2019, golf's final major will become golf's second major. The tournament will be moved to May, and it'll be played a month after the Masters. There you go, guys.
I broke that news to the staff yesterday. Nobody in our little post-show meeting had heard about that schedule change.
Is it official?
It should be official today or tomorrow.
All right.
And we'll discuss it with Nick Faldo around 8:40 Eastern this morning.
Masters in April, and then PGA in...
and the Players Championship in March into the Masters in April, PGA in May, U.S. Open in June, British Open in July, and then the FedEx Cup playoffs over before or by Labor Day to get out of the way of the NFL and college football.
It's the Open Championship, man. Not the British Open.
Whatever you want to call it, you nerd in glasses.
They play in Scotland. They play it in Ireland.
Right, right, right.
I mean, if you're going to be a true professional, get it right.
You're right. I apologize. Okay. If anyone's a true professional in the room, it's you. Yeah.
I look like it anyway.
The theory is that then you've got five straight months of golf majors. The PGA in May is better for TV than the PGA in August. So everybody's happy about this, apparently, except like the Byron Nelson Classic in the spring is going to have some issues, apparently, getting some players to go there now.
Right.
The way the calendar will fall, but we'll be okay.
It's coming up this weekend. This is a little early, isn't it, for it? Or is this right on?
I don't think so.
Is it? Okay, what the hell's going on other than preseason football?
Vacations. Yeah, stumped you.
Nobody vacates? Gotcha. You don't take a vacay in May?
No.
What's the date in May again?
I don't think they have an exact date yet.
Late May. There's a higher percentage of vacations in August than May.
Duh.
According to the National Common Sense Survey.
If you don't get your dumbass sense off the mic, nobody talking to you.
Ask him how he got home yesterday. Or don't. I don't know if we're allowed to discuss this.
Planes, trains, automobiles.
Hopefully he had to ride a tricycle.
Basically, at a hitchhike.
What happened?
Car broke down again, Beej.
I love that car. I love that car. There's too much porn you listen to. I couldn't take it anymore.
No, yeah. No, the dealer told me about that. Cut back on the pee.
Do we know why it broke down?
Yeah, I'll give you the timeline. So last week, Mike walked in. And the first thing out of his mouth was, "Hey, Billy," to Billy, you know, our tiny Billy Jock Lone.
Yes.
"Do you know how to jump
our
a car?"
Lawn jockey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because on the drive in, the Biseglio-mobile just kept shutting off, basically. It was like losing power on the drive in. But he got here. And I actually said to him, I was like, "I didn't know your battery could do that. I just thought it didn't turn on. That I didn't know that it could like actually go in and out of service." "Oh, yeah, it happens all the time." So Mike was watching YouTube videos to jump his car. Billy went out there. They jumped it. They got home. I felt bad for Mike until I had found out that his light, the engine light, was on for days, and he ignored it, and this happened. And then I didn't feel bad for him.
I got what I deserved.
Right, but he got the battery fixed.
Right.
Didn't pay a lot of money. Thought everything was great. Got here yesterday morning fine. Left yesterday afternoon. And didn't make it back to the Biseglio house because the car died. Because it was not the battery, or it wasn't the battery alone. The alternator was also an issue.
What type of car do you drive, sir?
I have a Toyota RAV4.
Toyota RAV4. Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't get home until pretty late yesterday.
Good for you.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Good for you. So
that's
much
what he
hate.
Deserves.
Yeah, and you mean that,
Bureau
which is amazing.
Of common sense.
Yeah. I heard
people
that
like me, we vacay year round. Except for August.
I mean, this is true.
To December.
You come to work for a break from vacation.
You get the other half. Yeah. That's how we live, Mr. Common Sense.
Well, I take vacations in May. I'm a big proponent of the May vacation.
I'm a big proponent.
How many vacation days do you have left currently?
702.
Okay, good. Nobody wants to be here less than Mike. Yet,
so the car
he
didn't
with anybody else.
The car didn't die in the tunnel.
No,
through the tunnel, thankfully, but it died right over it.
Oh,
right through it.
Right outside the Holland.
Couple minutes through the Holland Tunnel in New Jersey, and then I was didn't get home till 5:30. Took 5.5 hours to get home.
So you had AAA come get you and all that good stuff.
Yep, okay. All that good stuff.
Glad you didn't call me. Good.
Imagine if that car died in the tunnel.
Imagine if you called Brian and asked for help.
Slash my tires and leave.
Yeah, you just got done with yoga, feeling all refreshed and good. He's like, "Hey, hey, Beej, you need Mike."
Bob Huggins to interview.
No, I was lazy as hell yesterday because of the weather, man. It made me lazy. And plus a wild weekend. But Mike calling me just reminded me of something my brother Stacy did to me once. And so we were at the house chilling, and a buddy called, very good friend. His car broken down. And so Stace answers the phone, and our buddy tells him what's occurring. Stace doesn't say anything. Then he says, "Brian, telephone."
Smart.
He popped up on me.
"I'm coming,
what?
Mom. Is Mom calling? I got to go."
Yeah.
So your friend and friend of the show, Houston Nutt, is still embroiled in this
simple man.
Is still embroiled in this lawsuit with Ole Miss because they have basically tried to shame him and put the Hugh Freeze nonsense on him with all of these off the record conversations with reporters that it was really Coach Nutt's fault. He did all of these things, and yet he was not the one accidentally calling escort services or whatever with his school-issued cell phone.
Yeah.
So now they're kind of back in the driver's seat, the Nutt camp, legally. And they, though, apparently only want is an I'm sorry and a donation to some kind of foundation,
Sports
and we move on.
Ethics Commission?
Yeah, you'd think they'd try to drop the hammer
you'd
now.
You'd think you'd want to subsidize some other commission in Mississippi, but
yeah,
sports
like from now
ethics.
On, you're going to be the Ole Miss Houston Nuts. Like, you really want yeah. I want to own the place.
Well,
why do you
need a Sports Ethics Commission?
Well, because they weren't ethical.
In Mississippi.
They weren't ethical.
Really?
Yeah.
I could probably come up with a whole bunch of other commissions they need down there. But, yeah, he just wants that apology. And that's all he wanted before he levied this lawsuit. He wanted Ole Miss to come out and apologize for lying on him.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't do it, so you had to go this route. And now he said, just make a donation, give me an apology, and we move on, because they're still paying him. Still owing money from when they released him as his head coach. So that's all he wants. He's not trying to get rich off y'all. I already made him rich.
Yeah, I give him credit, man. I would be so vindictive in this apparently what they did to him, they did to me, and then they got caught like this and embarrassed like this. I would not be kind. But he's being relatively kind here.
Well, he's being magnanimous. Coach Nutt's a good cat. And,
yeah, good for him.
And like I said, he just wants to clear his name, his reputation, all that. And you know, I don't know if he necessarily wants to get back into coaching. I thought he should have had a job a long, long time ago because he's still young and a hell of a coach. You're not 3-time SEC Coach of the Year and not know how to field a good football team. He just didn't have all the resources
and
the
Randy
backing.
Cross and Zucker, get out of there.
He didn't have the same type of resources and the backing that that Hugh Freeze has enjoyed there at Ole Miss. So just clear the man's name, give him his damn apology, and everyone move on.
I don't know if you saw this, and I think Mike's going to effort having Dennis Dodd on later this week, but CBSSports.com is running a series of articles and videos and whatnot based on conversations with anonymous coaches, surveys of college coaches of all different aspects of the game. But the first installment is about cheating. Mm-hmm. How much, you know, breaking NCAA rules. And one coach said that 80% of SEC coaches are cheating, and it's only 20% in the rest of the country.
Did he qualify the manner in which they're cheating?
More breaking rules, but they all seem to downplay the idea that there was, like, really, really bad top-end evil going on. But there was one.
We were cheating, just very little cheating. Like, I was running, but I wasn't really running.
Like, they were giving guys extra cream cheese as opposed to tractors. But it was pointed out that farm equipment actually is a good method of funneling money. Like, it's a good gift give, apparently. That there are coaches that funnel money through churches to kids.
Oh, dude.
Because the church is as a nonprofit, you can't get their financial documents. And there's one coach, and if you really extrapolate it, it means that he's been there for a long time and he's got this big grand scheme of rule breaking. But he actually promised a player who wanted to go to law school, I'll pay, like, you know, we'll pay for your law school if you then go work in the NCAA infractions department for 5 years. So they can be, you can be my eyes and ears and get back to me if you hear anything about us.
Oh, a little mole, huh?
A little bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, I mean
that's like some mob stuff there. It's organized crime.
Yeah, inside job, baby. And you hear these stories all the time. And we have a number of coaches that come through CBS Sports Network over there. And you talk to them and they share stories with you. You have a commitment for a guy. You go back to with a follow-up visit and the kid doesn't even want to talk to you. And mama and tell you, hey, so-and-so came through here last week. All bills are taken care of, coach. What can you do for us?
Yeah.
Those are the type of conversations that are happening. They've been happening for a long, long time. and it will continue to occur.
Oh yeah.
And so that stuff, that's big time college football.
Yeah.
And basketball, it's going on, and there's no way you can stamp out all of it.
Yeah, I'm not going to give the kid's name, but I had heard one of the more high profile college basketball recruits recently, there was like a $10,000 like speaking fee.
Yeah.
Like that's just how you got FaceTime with whoever his person was. You got to give him 10 grand.
There you go.
And this article, I think, pegs the average high-end recruit cost was $80,000.
Listen, there are alumnus that want to be a part of these young men.
Yeah, $100 handshakes.
And I got a $5 handshake one. I was like, what am I going to do with this? What can I do? True story.
I'm at Texas, people.
In the lock. No. No. I was like, what can I do with this, man? Barely get a burger. But thank you.
You should have given it back. Like, listen, dude.
Hey, wow. You could have just put that out in the open, man. That's a clandestine handshake. But there are those who want to just help a kid and buy him a burger or buy him a meal here and there. And then there are others who would love to benefit from their celebrity if they are able to amass some celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones you really have to watch out for. And then you factor in the agents and their runners who get in the mix, and they try to curry favor with the players by buying them. And that's what should be really insulting to these players when a coach or an alumnus for a particular school or an agent is trying to buy you. I'm not going to lie. I took those agents' money, but I didn't sign with them. Anyone that tried to buy me, I didn't sign with them. Yeah, you want to give me some money? I remember an agent sitting in the agent's office. The agent said, we can go right down to the BMW dealership right now. Get your new car. Okay, great. Now, as soon as I sign, who's going to have to pick up that note?
Right.
I am.
Right.
So you've bought me. But no, if you want to wire me some money, that's what they did back in the day. You know, go down to Western Union, wire cash here and there. Fine. I'm not signing with you. You're not buying me. Don't be bought, young men.
Yeah.
Women. Don't be bald.
Break the rules of pride.
Take their money, though.
What a lesson.
Take that money.
There's pride in cheating.
No, I'm talking about after you're
sell
done.
Your
after
soul
eligibility.
Like a man. Brought to you by Brian Jones. Johnny Manziel was once accused of breaking NCAA rules as a player. May that happen as a coach next on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
In 3, 2, and 1. Welcome back to Gio and Jones. Brian Jones, Andrew Bogish in for Gio. This is written basically specifically for Mike Biseglia. Before your travels begin, prepare for summer road trips. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts for simple, preventable maintenance that will ensure a safe journey during the summer months. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, Johnny Manziel, who still wants to play football and admits to thinking long and hard about the CFL, but obviously the NFL is his goal, admitted recently that if he can't play again, he can't see himself leaving sports and may actually want to coach football on the college level. And I'm not arguing against second chances, new turn in life and a new goal and a new career path. But I'd have to see a lot from Johnny before I put him in charge of young men.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he can't.
You want to see him and make sure
get his you-know-what together.
He's got his life in order, correct? Yeah. And so he was over at this international betting
which is amazing
conference.
To me. He wasn't like the local YMCA to speaking engagement. He's at the International Sports Betting Commission
in
or whatever.
Costa Rica,
in
baby.
Costa Rica.
I'm sure they paid him a nice pretty penny for that gig, too. Call me. Right, you want to see, make sure he's got all his ducks in a row. And he's doing well. He's dealt with his alcoholism and whatever else he was partaking in. And as far as coaching, here's someone who improvised like it was no one's business. So what's going to be his coaching strategy? What's his approach? Going, hey, man, you're going to get the play call. Then just do whatever the hell you want to do.
He's all at right. The grease board. There's all nicely diagrammed plays. Like you take 2 steps short, and then you just do whatever you want. And on 2.
Yeah, so it'd be fun. It'd be fun to see the kids he mentors.
He's up there.
That'd be great.
First day of camp, he just takes the playbook, sets it on fire, and goes.
We're going to dry it up in the dirt.
We're going to do what we're
going to
do.
That's it.
See what happens.
That is it. But good for him that he has aspirations to do something else. But as we initially said, get yourself in order. And it sounds like, and in reading his comments, it sounds like he's done some of the reflection on his life.
Yeah.
And it feels like he's in a different place at this particular time. And it's starting, hopefully, to make sense to him that he couldn't continue down the road that he was heading. And now it's time to grow up a little bit.
Yeah, the handful of pictures I saw from this thing in Costa Rica yesterday, he looked healthier that one time where he was a few pictures where he just looked really thin and frail and unhealthy.
He wasn't at the pool with a big drink.
I don't know what happened after lunch in Costa Rica. I'm assuming he didn't go to the library. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think in theory, these are often the guys that do make the best coaches, the ones that have lived the wrong way and have seen the light and have come back and know how to actually get through to people and can use real life examples of why you should do this or not do that. Yeah. So, Johnny may end up being great in that role, but, and hopefully we're on the path to that. And also, too, for him, a guy who I've always wanted to see for an extended period of time in the NFL in the right situation. He's done little to earn that kind of spot right now at the moment. But there's a part of me that still hopes that he gets to play in the NFL and actually can do some things, because I have always liked watching Johnny Manziel play the game, as annoying and infuriating as it might have been for coaches.
Yeah, and I carried the water for him for a long, long time, but he couldn't get his personal life in check. The talent was there. It was all the stuff off the field that kept him from succeeding on the field. So he'll always have a place there in College Station. He wins the Heisman, their second ever Heisman Trophy winner, and so he's going to always have a home there. And if he wants to start his coaching career, he can definitely go back there, maybe be a GA, assistant or something of that sort, or go to his high school, Kerrville, and do something there. But he will always have a place to land.
I need Brian Jones coaching. I need to see you
in a
huddle.
I already told you, man. Don't be bulk, but take the money.
Yeah, I check that. You don't need to coach. You need to create some kind of clinic.
I cannot
for
coach.
Breaking the rules in fashion.
I cannot coach.
Keeping your dignity.
That's right. Don't be bold.
You can make people better. Better men.
I've tried for 3 years with your ass. It ain't working. I've given up.
I don't
you
think
broke me, Mikey B.
Yeah.
Like your car. You broke me.
Mike's doing well. Welcome sign. He is the exception to the rule, though. You've made everybody else a better person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've made Greg and I more well-rounded.
Oh, cool.
You've done something for Pete. I'm not sure exactly what.
Well, give me some money for that. I'm sure it's worth something, right? That's some value.
I told you yesterday, I'm going to buy you an expensive bottle of champagne, and we're going to drink it together and hang out, and I'm going to learn even more from you.
If I had some, I would.
There you go. Well, first we have to figure out what the hell Billy Stamp is. Billy with the stamp.
Yeah.
And then you can learn more from
Did you log into your Facebook account yet, Mike, to find that message?
I did, yeah.
Okay, what does it say?
To go back to it.
Oh, wow.
We don't have time to read it. It's really long.
It's that long?
Yeah.
The explanation for Billy with the stamp?
It is. I can't get it in 30 seconds.
Wow. I can.
I knew that was coming. I thought for a second, too, that we had passed that moment because there's a bit of silence there. But then there you were. Never disappoint. And thank goodness we're not being simulcast on watchgeoandjones.com. Jay Cutler's back in prime Jay Cutler shape. That's where we begin hour two of Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.